Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Yes, that's all fine. Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes or so. Just shortly after 60 minutes, we'll be on. It's going to be an extended version of the broadcast tonight because of the nature of the topic and the number of guests that we anticipate for tonight's topic. So we've got a fantastic show planned for you tonight. Let me go ahead and get my commercial out of the way. I have my book out there, After the Passion, Now What? You can certainly go to my website for more information, drjessewalker.com. And you can also get life coaching services. Those of you all that are in need of that, just check out the website. You can also contact me personally at 954-367-6766. We've got a new publication that comes out every week. You get a brand new story inspired by true stories for less than a cup of Starbucks coffee, $2.50 a week, $10 a month. Minimum subscription is 3 months. So you will definitely want to check that out. We're getting great reviews on that. This time, without further ado, because we've got a great show for you tonight, we've got a number of participants that will be coming in and joining us. And let me go ahead and introduce and present my co-host, Ms. Camilla Cross. Ms. Cross, welcome to this evening's broadcast, and we're so glad to have you, as always.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. Good evening. I hope everyone's doing well today.
Yes, yes. So go ahead, Ms. Cross, and tell our audience about you and your commercial and how they contact you.
Good. Yes, everyone. As Dr. Walker said, I'm Camilla Cross. I am a certified anger management specialist. I also assist with conflict resolution. I do work with people who are court ordered as well as employee ordered, or if it's just something that you're struggling with, I definitely can assist. You can contact me. My number is 954-825-8500. You can also check out my website. I'm at www.yourworthispriceless.com. Again, www.yourworthispriceless.com. If you feel comfortable, you can email me. My email address is yourworthllc@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you guys. I know it's going to be an amazing show tonight.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to go ahead and get started. Tonight, if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, could there be a spiritual relevance resulting from COVID-19? We're going to be addressing that issue tonight. So kind of looking at it two-part, the spiritual relevance, if there's any, and then COVID-19, how basically they tie in. So it's going to be a very good show tonight, and we're certainly hoping that you all would join us, and then you'll press 1 to be able to give us some ideas. We've got a young lady by the name of Mary that's also going to be joining us momentarily. We're going to be going to her shortly, and, you know, we're going to be addressing some spiritual things. Ms. Walsh, let me start out. Before we go to tonight's story, we've got a story that we're going to be presenting tonight as well. Do you think there's a spiritual relevance resulting from COVID-19? Do you think that God is in this anywhere?
From my interpretation, I do. I do believe that his hand is 100% on this, because I just feel that, you know, everything that came out of this, well, you know, we're still going through this pandemic. It's not over, you know, it seems like it's over because there's so many other things going on that's kind of giving us some distractions, but, you know, there's new cases that have submerged here in Florida. You know, we're in South Florida. I was listening on the radio. There's like 3,000 new cases because sometimes, you know, with once we get distracted, we tend to drop our guard. So, you know, I wanted to reiterate there's definitely something still going on. But I do believe that it was, you know, in my interpretation, that it's something that God wanted us to definitely just kind of wake up, that there is things that are happening. There was things that were happening that we were not paying attention to. And for it to be to this magnitude, I really think that this was a way of God getting our attention and focusing on the things we needed to focus on. Sometimes on an individual level, on a level of the nation, it was just like, you know, off the world, because this didn't just affect one person or one group of people. It was worldwide, where everyone was on precaution, you know. Everyone had to stop and, you know, be quarantined. So it wasn't just something that, you know, it affected the whole world. Something of this magnitude, in my belief, God had to have his hand on.
Right. So, I mean, having said that, do you think then that, what about the Spanish flu back in 1918? I mean, we're talking about over 120 years ago. Do you think then that the people thought it was the end of the world at that time? And we're going to be looking at some of these things tonight as we address that story. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I believe at that time, I'm sure people were believing that, you know, like it's going to be the end of the world. I don't know if it's so much the end of the world. I think it's more of an awakening. I think there's different times that as the world turns, that there needs to be an awakening. There needs to be some type of enlightening. There needs to be some type of relevance to what God wants us to pay attention to. And, of course, he always wants us to pay attention, but, you know, when we don't listen, you know, my parents growing up, they say, who don't hear feels, you know. So since he couldn't get our attention in one way, it's definitely coming in another. You know, and so it's unfortunate people die, but, you know, a part of life is death. And as harsh as that sounds, as harsh as that is for me to say, and as harsh as it is for me to hear, it's the truth. So, you know, and if you're a believer, you know that death is not the final stop anyways. So I just say that to say that I believe that at different times that the world is turning, you know, there have been significant things that needed to change. And this, I believe at this time, God is not pleased. God was not pleased. And he probably seen some things that we couldn't foresee. And that's why all of this is coming about now.
Okay, so are you saying then, in your opinion, and we're going to go to the story momentarily, I'm going to introduce some of the guests that are coming in. Are you saying then, if I'm hearing you correctly, that there's a possibility that that back in 1918, over 100 years ago, that God was trying to get the people's attention at that point in time. So why then the offspring of some of those people, perhaps, why weren't they prepared and prepared us, perhaps, for this time, in the event something like this could happen again?
Because I think that people get caught. This is just my opinion, but I think that what happens is, you know, when you're in the fire, you're getting burnt, you're hot, you know, you're concerned. But once the fire starts to burn down, starts to die down, a lot of times people get comfortable, you know. And it's not
okay,
just about being in the midst of the fire. It's about what are you going to do when the fire stops burning? You know, what's going to be the resolution to a lot of the problems that we have?
All right, let's go in and introduce some of our guests before we go to the phone lines. We're waiting for Mary to press 1 on her dial to come in. She just needs to press 1. Let's see here, since we can also override and go ahead and press it for her. Let's go to 786-344. Welcome to the Dr. Jess Walk Show. We're just introducing our guests. Who do we have on the air?
Pastor Richard Dunn. I'm sorry, I'm a little compromised. I'm in the grocery store, so there's
that's
a little
all right.
competition.
That's okay. I appreciate
Hello,
that,
Pastor
Dunn. We've got Pastor Dunn is going to be joining us tonight. And Pastor Dunn, on occasion, you may want to mute your phone, or we'll mute you over here. So don't worry about the noise in your background when I come to you.
Okay.
But just remember, if you are speaking, if I call on you, you're speaking, You may have put us on mute, so we can't hear you unless you unmute us. Excuse me. Yes. Okay, so Pastor Dunn, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to 786-797. 786-797 to introduce that guest. Who do we have, and welcome to this evening's show?
Good afternoon. This is Gia. Good evening. This is Gia Brainin.
Okay, Ms. Brainin, thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us. We're
going
to ask you to stand by just momentarily. We've got another guest that we're going to, these are all some of our featured guests that are going to be joining us this evening. And yes, we are, many of you all have asked, are we on Facebook Live? We are doing a segment right now as we speak. We're on Facebook Live as well. All right, let's go to, looks like this may be Maine. 207-590. Is this Mary?
Yes. Good evening, Dr. Walker. How are you?
We're doing fine, Mary. Thank you for joining us. So we've got a number of our featured guests that's going to be joining us. We've got Pastor Richard Dunn. We've got Ms. Brainin. We've got Ms. Mary that's also going to be joining us. All right. We got a very deep, heavy show tonight. And we're just going to go over the hour of 1 hour tonight because we've got so much that we're going to be covering. But before I get started, Ms. Brainin, let's go to you first and ask a question to each one of you all. Do you think that there's a spiritual relevance that is resulting from this COVID-19? Do you think that God is anywhere in the mix of this? Same thing I asked my co-host.
Yes, I believe there is a spiritual realm dealing with COVID-19 because the things that you see happening in the world today, starting years ago, we know that God is coming. He's given us tsunamis. He's showing us through the weather that he's coming, and we need to get right with God. You have to understand that he is showing us through different means that everything is through his hands. Remember, he is God Almighty. Regardless of what religion we pray to, is only one God. And God is showing us that, to me, he's not happy what's going on in the world today, and he's continuing year after year after year, hurricanes, they have earthquakes, all these tsunamis. He's just showing us in different forms that this spiritual thing is real, and he is real, and we have to start believing that he is coming. So, yes, it's a spiritual connection.
Okay. All right. Excellent. All right, Ms. Brain, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Mary, let's go to you just for a second and ask this question kind of like, I mean, we had the Spanish flu of 1918, and we're going to get to the story in just a moment. You all will really want to hear the story. We had the Spanish flu 102 years ago, and I mean, people saying God is coming, and I heard Ms. Brainin, and I tend to believe that he's getting our attention. But should we be living in fear? Should we be living in fear?
No, I don't believe we should be living in fear. The Lord knows the beginning from the end, and he has this well in control. I firmly believe that COVID is an awakening, and it's a means of getting our attention on a world platform to do some introspection and to really consider where we are in this world and what our place is in this world.
All right. Okay. Let's go to Pastor Richard Dunn. Pastor Dunn, you may have us on mute. You can go ahead and unmute us at this time.
Okay, I'm back.
Right. Thank you for joining us this evening as well. Yes, we can. So Pastor Dunn, the question becomes here. I heard Ms. Brainin said earlier that it doesn't matter what our religious background is or when we worship, but we're all serving the same God. Then, you know, a God that we're taught that's so loving, so kind, why would he, nothing can happen unless he allows that. Why, in your opinion, do you think he's allowing something like this? Is it really, I mean, to frighten us, to get us into submission?
Well, you know, there are a plethora of views on this. There's the doctrine of theodicy, O-D, A-C-Y, I believe I'm spelling it right, theodicy, which is why do good people, why do bad things happen to good people? I'm kind of walking in the store, so I'm trying to do this on the run. Why do bad things happen to good people? Or why does God allow bad to happen? And the question of theodicy was raised with Job because Job did nothing wrong. In fact, he was a stellar believer. But what God, I hold fast to Romans 8:28, which says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, many times we forget that God is also a God of judgment. Now, he's not just a Santa Claus that wants to hold hands all the time and sing Kumbaya. Every now and then he's got to crack the whip. And the word says, every knee shall bow and every tongue must confess that who? That Jesus is Lord. So I believe what he's doing, not just from a citizenry standpoint, but also from the standpoint of leaders, to let leaders know that every knee has to bow under God. Every knee has to bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. He's going to get his due, whether we want to give it to him or not. He'll show us before he show us better than he could tell us, and that's what he's doing with the world now. And now another question, and I'm rambling because I'm kind of off kilter here, and I do apologize because I'm a bit compromised in the grocery store.
All right.
It said that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Got it already, Jesse. So we're covered. We don't have to worry about it. As long as we do what we're supposed to do, I believe the plague will not, this is my belief, will not harm us or hurt us. Now, that doesn't mean we can't be susceptible to it. I'm not saying that. But I believe ultimately God will see us through. So I'm a believer. It's a whole lot of things at work. But we have to know that it's all working together for our good, to those of us who love him and to those of us who are called according to his purpose.
Okay,
I guess
so,
we can chew on that for a little while. I'm going to mute myself because I'm getting a little loud over here in the background.
Okay, that's fine. That's done. That's fine. We'll come back to you momentarily. We're going to ask all of you all to stand by. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. 347-857-1769. You can also listen live at drjessewalker.com, drjwalker.com, drjessewalkerinc.com. Any one of those will get you into the studio to listen live. You can also catch us live right now on Facebook, and the show airs in its entirety 20 minutes after we close the broadcast. All right, we've got a lot to cover tonight. We're welcoming your comments also. Tonight's topic is, do you think there could be a spiritual relevance that could result from COVID-19? Tonight's characters are Dan, Edith, and their four children. Now, Dan and Edith have been married for 17 years. They have a family of four and have known each other since their middle school years, since they grew up in the same neighborhood. Now, their families are well acquainted with each other, and everyone has gotten along fine over the last several years. In fact, Dan and Edith grew up attending the same community church in their neighborhood. Now, as such, they became well-versed in Bible teachings in their respective with their respective families. Now, with the recent influx of COVID-19, their four children, ages 7 to 17, are asking serious questions about spirituality and the relationship between that and COVID-19. Now, many of the questions are, of course, foreign to both Dan and Edith, and they simply don't know how to answer them. With all the conspiracy theories surrounding COVID-19 and spirituality, Dan, Edith, and their four children have become extremely frightened as Dan and Edith conduct family worship reflecting on prophetic memories and stories from the Bible, which can be rather scary, especially when you get into Daniel and Revelation. Now with COVID-19, they wonder how this play into the scheme of things relative to God's plan for humanity. Now, some of the fearful things that they are facing. Now, here's some of the fearful things that they are facing in trying to find answers for themselves as well as their children. Now, these are the things that they're facing. Number one, the spiritual ties to COVID-19, if there are any. Number two, prophetic signs from the Bible. You know how the Bible talks about prophecy being fulfilled. Number three, they talk about the mark of the beast. They are having discussions on that, and this is really frightening to their children when you talk about the mark of the beast. Number four, one world order. What does that mean in preparation for the Antichrist? Number five, man's heart will wax cold, that the Bible talks about this, talking about last day events. Number six, men will become lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Number seven, knowledge will increase in the last days. Well, we see that constantly, because if you go onto the computer, everything has changed within 3 months. Number eight, Daniel and Revelation signs. You know, when you get into Daniel study of Daniel and Revelation, you're talking about signs of the, you're talking about prophecy. You're talking about end of the world times. You know, when Daniel had that vision and Revelation, you know, it talks about the statue in Revelation. Number nine, natural disasters that are more frequently as prophesied, like earthquakes. Ms. Branham mentioned tsunamis. We talk about tornadoes, hurricanes, twisters, and so much more. And then number 10, there's so much more, like even children. The Bible talks about the children will rebel against their own parents. Well, in this day and age, you've got children calling 911 on their own parents simply for disciplining them. Now, with the uncertainty of all of this going on, Dan, as the head of the household, is not sure how to keep his family calm enough in a way to relax their ongoing and growing fears. Now, Dan, Edith, and so many other people wonder if there's a spiritual relevance that could result from COVID-19. They are so confused by what the medical world is telling them, coupled with other people and their conspiracy theories, that it seems things are just on a flip-flop from time to time and day to day. The question that I start out with, Ms. Cross, and I'm going to start out this one with you, and then we're going to switch over to Ms. Mary here. Do you think Dan and his family have reason enough to be concerned? I mean, that's a lot of stuff. I mean, Dan is actually scared, and so is his wife. Ms. Cross, do they have reason to be concerned, in your opinion?
Well, I don't know if I would say they have a reason to be concerned, but I can understand why they're concerned. You know, this is, it's just a lot of uncertainty. And, you know, even with them growing up in the church and studying the Bible, you know, their faith may still be a little shaken depending on what they're seeing. Now their kids are coming to them with these questions, and I'll share it. It's relatable because my kids are asking me questions, you know, just trying to, because they're trying to make logic out of what's going on in the world. And, you know, everything that they've been taught, everything that they're seeing, you know, it to them it's confusing. As adults, sometimes you sit back and, you know, unless your faith is strong, you're gonna have questions. And I think naturally we do have questions, you know, because that's just a part of our free will, the process of free will. So I understand why they have questions. You know, the thing is, you have to lean on what you know to be your truth. You know, they're Christian, so I know their truth is the Bible. I'm a Christian. My truth is the Bible. So my understanding is I know that, as Pastor Dunn was saying, that God is, you know, God loves us, going to have to be dealt with. And that's a part of the process. You know, it's not always going to feel good. So I do believe that where we are right now is kind of just going through a lot of these processes in terms of a cleansing, in terms of, you know, all these consequences that we've been kind of just brushing under the rug. You can't brush something under the rug because it's just going to pile up. And it's, you know, we're just masking it. A lot of this stuff that's going on in this world, we just mask it. We mask it and we move on. There's no such thing as moving on when it's right there. Like, there's no resolution.
Okay.
A lot of times, just no resolution.
All right. Ms. Mary, we're going to bring you in. I mean, I heard Pastor Dunn say earlier that the plague, you know, these things will not come near us. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it sounded like that's what he was saying. But I just got a call yesterday that a mother in her early 30s got COVID-19, and within 3 days she was deceased. And this was a young woman, and she left behind 5 children, and she was a believer. So, Ms. Mary, I'm just kind of like, I know he said that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, but how do you explain that to 5 young children? Who just lost their mother? Ms. Mary, let's bring you in and see what your thoughts are on that from a loving God.
That situation is no, that's okay, Pastor. That situation is taking my breath away. As a mother, my heart goes out to those children. Wow, Jesse, you really threw me a curveball there. But I would hope that their church family would rally around them and hold them up in prayer, and that all things work to the glory of God. And so this mother's example and her love, I would pray, would hold them. Wow, I was not expecting that question. But,
well, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
We're going to ask you to stand by, Ms. Mary, and let's bring that into Pastor Dunn. Let's ask you that same question. I mean, a loving God, this mother, you know, she got the disease and supposedly a healthy woman, and within 3 days she was gone, and she's got young children. So the loving God that this plague will not come near us, that's not necessarily the case here. Because she was a believer, I'm told. Pastor Dunn, you may want to unmute us. All right, while he's preparing to come by, let's go to Ms. Brainerd. Ms. Brainerd, let's bring you in and ask you that question. I mean, that's kind of hard for, it's like Ms. Mary was saying, it's kind of hard. It's a curveball. I mean, it's something that you can't even prepare for, it seems, because you're just thinking, you know, about your heart goes out to these young children, as she said. Ms. Brainerd, how do you find comfort to a husband and five children that her life's really, they say life begins at 40. She hadn't even made it to that point.
Well, we have to remember, even though she has the faith, she's a parent, a mother, a wife, but a Christian, but we have to remember, we don't know how long we're going to be here on this earth. We don't know what the time clock has on us, and we have to be prepared at any time when he says we have done our job, even if it's at 25, 40. I can tell you someone had an experience that the baby was gone at 72 days. So I believe that the Lord only gave us 72 days with that child, and that child did what it was supposed to do by teaching us lessons on continuing to have faith. And we have to make sure, like they said, that the church family rallies around them, and they have to continue to have faith. The faith in all of us are being tested in one way or the other, and it's going to be very difficult for young children. Why my mother did nothing wrong. She believed in, you know, Jesus Christ, the Lord Almighty. But we're only here for a certain amount of time, and we don't know what our time frame is. That's why they use the frame, live every day to its fullest, because we never know when God is going to call us home, because we're on his clock, not our clock.
All right, let me bring Ms. Brainerd, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let me bring Ms. Mary back in just for a second, because we're talking about with Dan and Edith, the husband and wife team here. They are having to reflect on stories from the Bible, and the Bible talking about the mark of the beast. What is actually the mark of the beast? When you hear people talk about the mark of the beast, what is the mark of the beast? What are they referring to, in your opinion?
In my opinion, as a Seventh-day Adventist, it is the Sunday law that will be established. And we have biblical references to go back to in terms of, you mentioned Daniel and the book of Daniel. And,
right.
And I'm using this as an example because all of us, I think, as Christians can agree that the Bible gives us historical references, as in the days of Noah, for instance. Okay, so in the book of Daniel in chapter 3, the first thing that they're asked to do is bow down to an idol, okay? And they don't do that, which goes directly to the second commandment, all right? And then in Daniel chapter 6, the next requirement, if you will, is to pay homage to the king or pray to the king. So if we're following biblical example, I believe that the next test would be to go against the fourth commandment, which is remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. That's my opinion as a Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay, so Marian, I'm going to bring you back in just for a second, and
sure.
I've got to ask the question. You mentioned Sunday, and I've heard stories about Sunday blue laws. What is that? What reference are they making to when they're talking about Sunday blue laws, and who are they when you say they?
Yeah, so I guess the world is what I'm, when I say they. Sunday blue law are laws that are still on the books that are not utilized currently or typically that were established by well-meaning Christians to incorporate days of rest into their communities. And
okay.
Those typically are not observed as at this time. But interestingly enough, with COVID, is that some of our ecosystems are regenerating. And because we're not driving, we're not polluting as much as we once were. So it would be an interesting thing, for instance, for governments to say the world needs a day of rest. Well, typically, what might that day of rest look like? What day of the week would that be? If it is established as a world order, you know, in the new world order, we'll just use that term. Quote unquote, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, that could come into play.
We're going to actually stand by. Let's go to Pastor Dunn, and then Ms. Cross, I want to bring you back in momentarily. Pastor Dunn,
okay.
I'm quite familiar with what Mary is saying. She talked about the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast, you know, there's prophecy out there. I've done an extensive research on this. And it talks about having a mark on your forehead or your hand. That's what it references. And then you talk about the Sunday blue law where the law is established on the books that everybody has to worship on that day. And then you've got the First Amendment right of the Constitution that says that you have the right to, you know, religion and government will not interfere with, you know, with your choice of religion. But then also in the Roman Catholic Emperor Constantine in A.D. 321, when he actually changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday, he made it a law that those who worship on Saturday could no longer worship on Saturday, and they had to worship on Sunday. So, Pastor Dunn, let me bring you in. And are we coming to those times again where there's a forced law, a Sunday blue law, the mark of the beast that Dan and Edith are talking about here that people may not even be aware of?
I want to give some opinion to the last question when I had difficulty getting back on.
Sure.
But I believe we're there, Dr. Walker. I mean, if you look at, and the Bible says in the last days, perilous times would come. And we can see the signs. We could see biblical prophecy being fulfilled all over the place when Israel was bought as a nation in 1948. And, you know, the rumors of wars and earthquakes and floods and all kinds of things. And, you know, you got all kind of disrespect for man and for God. And so I believe we're approaching it. I don't believe we're there yet, but these are the perilous times I believe that the Bible prophesied about. So yes, and if you look at everything, it's computerized. Everything, you know,
Just in sharing a little personal tidbit, today I was trying to do a 501c3, and I was trying to do it the old-fashioned way because I'm a little bit outdated to all of you millennials. And I had to do the whole thing online, and I was so frustrated because I'm not that good at with the computer, but I had to do it. That was the only way it could get done. And I spent hours. In fact, that's kind of why I'm running a little bit behind right now, because I spent hours trying to negotiate that stuff on the computer. Now, going back to the last question, the question of why God would allow such things to happen. I mean, those are questions sometimes that we don't have immediate answers for. We just have to wait by faith. I mean, I'm not saying that callously to the families of those who've lost loved ones to COVID-19 or who've lost loved ones to hatred and racism. I mean, look at George Floyd, but let me give you a quick flip of the story. A month ago, nobody knew who George Floyd was, but now his name will be remembered in the archives of history like Emmett Till. I mean, he went from being murdered to being martyred. I mean, who wants to die like that? I'm not saying that you want, but we all are going to die one day. I mean, the Bible says it is appointed unto man after to die once, and after this cometh the judgment. So we all are going to die, but God allowed his death not to be in vain. And I believe right now it's changing. We're witnessing right before our eyes a movement like never before, at least in my lifetime. This was what Dr. King prophesied about. But then there's a scripture, I'm talking fast, in Isaiah 55:8-9 that says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So if we knew everything, that would put us as being God. And that's not a cop-out, but that's just a reality. We have to trust that God is working it out. It's hard now. I'm not saying it's easier said than done, but we have to trust that God is working it out on our behalf. And sometimes what starts out being terrible ends up being a blessing. I've had many situations, I'm sure I'm not the only one on the line that could attest to this, where something looked like it was just a tragedy, took it and flipped it on your behalf. And God does that. So I believe at the end of the day, somehow, some way, these families will be blessed. But certainly we owe them our prayers and our condolences and our support and our love and our comfort, because but for the grace of God, there go I, there go you. And so, you know, it's tough, but I had to reconcile in my spirit a long time ago. Some things going to happen in life that God's going to allow to happen that we're just not going to understand. And that theological term, you can look it up. It's called theodicy. I would say it is theodicy. Why does God allow bad things or evil things to happen to good people? That's a great question. And then last but not least, and I'm going to have to run, I love your show, Dr. Walker. This is a hard subjects that you're dealing with tonight. The Bible says, Jesus himself said, the sun shines on the just as well as the unjust, and it also rains on the just as well as the unjust. But the difference is, with God, we have comfort, we have strength, we have support, we have refuge, and that's the difference between us and the unbeliever. And we got to help me somebody.
Right. I know, Pastor Dunn, you've got to run, and we appreciate your time. And just before you go, if you can answer this one question. If there is an establishment of a Sunday, what they call a Sunday blue law, then it seems like everything that God has put out to be the original plan, man has come along and the devil has brought in his principalities in terms of making a counterfeit. Everything that the devil does goes contrary to what God has done, the original plan. And so with that, if there's a Sunday blue law, which sort of forces people to worship on that one day under a new world order that they call it, then similar to what Constantine did in AD 321, and you all can research all of this, then are you telling me that Sunday would be the correct day of worship? I'm just asking here. Is that, because the law says it doesn't matter when you worship. But if that's the fourth commandment where it says remember the seventh day to keep it, I'm just wondering because I'm going back to what Ms. Mary was saying. Give me your opinion on that.
Well, we know that the Sabbath is Saturday. I mean, that's undebatable. Those of us who know the Bible and know theology and understand their walk with God, the Sabbath is Saturday, unequivocally, undeniably, and in no uncertain terms. I believe my thing is too, and I'll say this, and it's not an alibi. I'm gonna have to run again. I always get caught on these good subjects, and I got to run. But the Bible says, the time has come, and it is here now, that they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And I've gotten in the habit since my walk of God, my walk with God has begun to develop and mature, that I worship the Lord. I try my best to worship the Lord every day. Every day he puts breath in my body, I try to worship the Lord. You know, the scripture says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So, you know, it's you're right about Constantine. He married the world to the church by declaration, but not by salvation. And that's why Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the door of Wittenberg. Now you're making me go into my theology now. On the door of Wittenberg in 1517. Because he protested the Catholicism doctrine that said that you can be saved by indulgences. That's why if you look at a lot of movies, you see the mafia involved in a lot of the Catholic churches. What they used to do, they would make great contributions to the Catholic Church down through the years, and they would almost like the priests in the Catholic Church would almost like put them in heaven, you know. But we know that, and so Martin Luther protested and said, no, it's by sola scriptura, by scripture alone, by faith alone. You can't be saved by indulgences, by paying your way. You can't buy your way. You can't prestige your way. You you can't glorify your way. You know, the only way we can do it is by salvation. So that's where we are.
Yeah.
It's not by declaration, but by salvation.
I know, and I know you've got to go, and just one final question. So if I'm preaching to my congregation on Sunday, am I leading the people in the contrary to the word of God? What do you think on that? Am I leading
My quick and skinny answer. My quick and skinny answer says, Romans 10:13 says that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So once I believe we accomplish that, at the end of the day, we've taken care of the major stuff. You know, we could have little minor disagreements, I believe, but we covered the major stuff with God, the major things of God.
All right. Pastor Dunn, we're going to invite you back for part two of this show. Is that okay?
Please do. That's fine. Please do. I got to run.
All right. All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to bring Ms. Cross, let's bring you in first, and then we're going to go to 305-684. Ms. Cross, let me just ask this question, and that question becomes, I mean, I'm looking at Dan and Edith, and, I mean, this is enough stuff. I'm listening to Pastor Dunn here. There's enough stuff with everything COVID-19 going on, and now we're talking about the mark of the beast. We're talking about Daniel and Revelation, Daniel's vision, and, I mean, we're talking about, you know, a God who is trying to get our attention. When you hear thoughts on, you know, prophecy about mark of the beast, what does that make you think about, Ms. Cross? And then we're going to ask the same question to the caller on 305-684.
Well, you know, it's. I know that this discussion has been had with different generations over time. You know, I remember being a little girl and watching, I think it was called, was it The Rapture? It was one of those movies that scared me where it was the end of the world and God was just taking people, you know, and people just disappeared. I remember growing up, you know, going to Sunday school and hearing about this. And if we look at what's going on in the world, it very much resembles what the Revelations is saying. Like, we can't dismiss what is the truth. I think that our timing and God's timing is definitely not the same. So because of that, you know, that's why a lot of different generations have felt like it was the end of days. But I feel like we are definitely heading towards it. You know, I just think that a year for us is not really a year for God. So while I think somebody referenced the 1940s, there was a big turnover there, and that was a part of the process. So I do believe that every step, like, we're making steps towards the end of days. You know, there are so many things that we are so against with God put in the Bible, like everything he told us not to do, like the world is like, oh, well, we're going to do it anyways. Like, it's like a slap in the face, you know, I guess a simplified version of saying it. So I feel like, yeah, definitely, you know, we are not, you know, I'm not going to say we per se, me and you, but if we look at this on a worldly standpoint, the world is going against God feet ahead, you know, and that is not, you know, and if God says, if you don't keep my commandments, these are the punishments, and God is not a God to lie. So we are definitely heading towards what, you know, damnation. That's just how I feel. I don't want to be, you know, so now, you know, I'm just kind of seeing it from the angle of what the Bible says. You know, it is, that's exactly what it stated is what it is.
Okay. So, all right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to 305-684. And then we're going to go to Mary and bring her back in. Ms. Brandon, we're going to bring you back in momentarily. Let's go to 305-684. Who do we have? And welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. 305-684. All right, perhaps we'll come back to that caller. Let's bring in Miss Brandon. Let's bring you in and ask the question, because, I mean, I can see how Dan and Edith have reason to be not only concerned, but a little fearful with hearing all of this stuff and this time. And, you know, they've been married for 17 years, and they've got these children, these four children that are asking these questions, like Ms. Crossley, as her kids are asking her questions, that you can't even find answers to. And then you start talking about Daniel and Revelation and Mark of the Beast and Sunday Blue laws, where you're forced to worship on a given day that man sets up. What's your take on this, Ms. Brandon?
Well, you still have to continue your faith no matter what the laws are. You have to continue your faith, and as Dr. Dunn said, you have to pray, and he prays and he try to give God he gives God praise every day. And I agree with that. I give God praise every day. But as far as answering the questions that kids have, as parents, we do the best that we can to refer to the Bible, or we take them to the pastor of the church, you know, because we don't always have answers. When God brought us into the world, the only thing we had was his book. There was no book on parenting. We just had the book of his word. So we always, I always refer my kids, even at 21 and 22 and 21, that they have, I take them to the pastor of the church or any other pastor that are around, like Pastor Dunn, that can give them better answers than we have, because we don't have the answers. Nobody has the answers, the right answers that people would want to hear. But I would just go to, you know, tell them to continue in their faith, what we believe in. You go talk to your spiritual guidance, which is your pastor or your bishop or whatever religion that you may practice, because everybody doesn't practice the same religion, even though you have the Quran and all of those. So you would go to whatever your religious affiliation is and go to your pastors and those above him to help you and to guide you to give the right answers to your children.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Ms. Brandon, we're going to ask you to stand by. I think that's vital information. Before we bring Ms. Mary in, let's try that caller again. 305-684. Is the caller there? Is the caller there? Maybe you have us on mute. All right. We're not able to hear that caller at all for some reason. Let me try to unmute him over here and try to go back. All right, can you hear us now, caller? Okay, no. Ms. Mary, let's bring you back in and ask, of course, and that caller may be able to cancel out and call back in. Ms. Mary, I kind of believe that my thought is, this is just my belief, and I'm not trying to impose my belief on anyone else, but my thought is, I don't think that when we pass away, we go straight to heaven. I think that, like Pastor Dunn said, after death, there's the judgment, you know, and I believe that, and I'm not saying that there's Hades or, I mean, there's a holding period or anything like that. I think that there's a state of sleep that we're not aware of anything because the Bible says the living know that they shall die, but the dead knows nothing. So I don't think that we transition right into heaven. That's just my belief. But because otherwise, I don't think people would be afraid. If you know that you were going to go from, you know, if we want to put it like the hell of COVID-19 or the other problems that people encounter on earth, and you're going to transition right into a heavenly world that we are told is so glorified, then who would be afraid to go directly there? Ms. Mary, let's bring you in. What are your thoughts on, do people just transition right to heaven, in your opinion?
No. It's my belief that the judgments have not happened yet. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord doesn't know what the final outcome will be, but Earth's population needs to end, and the angels need to have it laid out for them so that the Lord's judgment is fair, so that it's demonstrated that there was no preferential treatment the Bible in several different places, and I apologize, I don't have the verses in front of me, talk about that the dead know nothing. They're asleep.
Right.
And so there are a handful of people who have been translated and that are in heaven, but the majority of people are asleep and will be raised up at the time of Jesus' coming. That's my belief.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to the caller once again, 305-684. Are you there? 305-684. Okay, we're not hearing you at all for some reason. You may want to try back from a landline, but we are definitely not hearing you. If you can get in at any point in time, just chime in. All right, let's take another. We've got a number of comments that have come in, and we've got about 37 minutes before we bring the show to a close. We're going to address some of these issues that Dan and Edith really are in fear of. So let's take a look at that and see what we can do there. All right, let's begin with let's take a look here at the first comment. Ms. Cross, this party writes in and says, I was a child growing up. I remember my mother talking about spiritual matters and end times. I just wonder if this is the end times that we are living in. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think any of us can say with certainty, because the Bible says that no man knows the day, time, or hour that God will end it all. But what would make people think that these could be the end times, in your opinion? Ms. Cross.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I just think that, you know, according to the things that God says will come to pass before the end of time, you know, we're actually seeing it play out. So it's just that, you know, as you said, we don't know the exact time or the hour. I think we're just, you know, seeing the what's going on, and we're relating it to what Revelation says. So because of that, you know, it's kind of like an accurate assumption, you know what I mean, if that makes sense. So I think that's why everybody's so concerned, you know, which I think that, you know, at the end of the day, and my understanding of death, I guess once you start experiencing it, it just looks a little different, because at the end of the day, we all were born and we all have to die, and we don't know when we're going to die. It's all about, you know, living your life according to his will and his way. And when it's your time, it's your time. You know, we are not all going to live to be 100 years old. We're not supposed to. You know, he gave us an assignment. We were all here placed with a purpose. And once our purpose is fulfilled, then we're going to have to depart. You know, God, Jesus died at, what, 43? Was he 43?
33.
Maybe a
33.
Little off. 33. Oh, my gosh, 33 even worse. Not even worse, but I'm saying nowadays someone dying at 33, we're like, oh, my gosh, like he hasn't even lived his life. But look at everything that he did in 33 years of being here on this earth. You know, he sacrificed for us, you know. So I think that some people, before we were born, God already wrote our story. And some of us, our story is to be the sacrificial lamb. It is to give, you know, bless the world with whatever we're supposed to give. And then it's time to go. That doesn't mean that, you know, I think sometimes we hold, and that, you know, I guess that came with, you know, I had someone very close to me pass away, but I realized that her life was, her being here, she came here on a mission. And once her mission was up, even though we may not have been ready to let her go, it was time, God was ready to take her back. You know what I mean? So I just have that a different understanding of life and death.
Okay, Ms. Cross, I think we're picking up a sound in your background. All right, thank you for that. Let's take a look at, go back to our story just for a second here. And I want to be able to look at one of the other things that that Edith and Dan talked about. Ms. Mary, let's bring you in. And when, you know, they were telling their children that men's hearts will wax cold and that men will become lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. How do you interpret something like that? I mean, with these times that we are.
Well, we see it all around us. The idolatry of self, the importance of me, rather the importance of God. Can we just go back to I had said that I didn't know a verse, but it's actually Ecclesiastes 9:5. If some of your listeners are want to look it up, and it's and that is but the dead know nothing. So that was Ecclesiastes 9:5. I'm sorry, I couldn't get that out of my head. Okay, in terms of Dan and Edith, I look at their situation as an opportunity. As a parent, I have been praying for years for two of my children that are not walking in God's word. And I had a wonderful experience with my son because of everything that's going on right now, to let him know that I have been praying for years that God will have his say in his life. And as a mother, I know that that could mean anything to my, you know, for my son. That could mean that his end of days is here. That could mean something, you know, catastrophic happens to him to bring him to his knees. But his salvation is so important to me. So I hope that those Dan and Ediths in our churches look at this as an opportunity to witness to their children and not be fearful. We are told not to be afraid.
Okay, excellent, excellent. And you've been praying for years. And I've got it, Ms. Brandon, let me bring you in just for a second, because Ms. Mary has said something that she's been praying. And I've heard people oftentimes, I mean, I've been on this air for 11 years here, and I've been doing therapy for more than probably about 40 years. And I hear people, you know, spouses who've separated from their spouses and say they've been praying for over 10, 15, 20 years for their spouses to return to them. And in some cases they have. But if that's the case, where does free will, free choice come in? Because I've even heard a pastor who divorced say that his wife has been praying, but God does not impose on anyone's free will or free choice. So when someone is praying, if that person has a right to exercise their free choice, then how is there a correlation that God is going to act on a mother's prayer or a spouse's prayer, for that matter, in your opinion?
That's a good one. in my opinion, it's just like the movie The War Room. You have to pray for what you want. That's, and you have to pray for bigger and better things. So you have to continue to pray day in and day out. As the other panelist said, she's been praying for her son, for his walk in Jesus. I pray for my children every day because they have to find their own path, no matter if they we give them their morals and their values, and you hope they continue that walk as they leave our nest, where we have to cut the umbilical cord. But they have to find their own path no matter what we teach them and what we've taught them. We hope that they continue. But when it comes to free will, that's a hard thing because even though God hears prayer, and God may have it on the husband's heart to try to come back to his wife or his loved one, but his free will is that it may not be in inner his energy and his inner self that is where he wants to be, and we all deserve to be happy. And unfortunately, he may not see, God may give him his free will now, but as they say, the grass may not be greener on the other side. So God may be allowing him to give him his free will to see what that other side looks like, and the wife have to continue to pray and pray. And once he see that the grass may not be green on the other side, then it may click on him that now I see that I cannot fight God's will anymore. I have to do what the Bible says when you take that vow mm-hmm. before God. And
okay.
That's what I see it.
All right. Ms. Cross, let me bring you in, and then we're going to take some more of the comments that come in. And if that were the case, Ms. Cross, let's just say if that were the case in your situation, and as a therapist, would you want to take that spouse back after he's been gone for so many years? I mean, even though you prayed and all of a sudden now you know, they say be careful what you pray for, because now you've reinvited hell back into your life. Ms. Cross, what are your thoughts?
But that's a hard call to make, because sometimes, you know, you can be, God will give you what you ask for, you know, but I don't know the dynamics of this. You know, I don't know who this man was, you know, maybe he,
right.
Sometimes we do both of things in life and it makes us a better person. So I wouldn't totally say, okay, this person's coming back, unless there was something that was traumatizing or, you know, of course, something that's life-threatening that this man did, then, of, you know, to me, that once a leopard doesn't change their stripes that much. But
right.
sometimes people have to leave your life and sometimes grow, and they'll come back as a better person. So I wouldn't totally say, no, there's no such thing as second chances, because I've seen second chances work.
Right. Ms. Brannon, there was a story. I mean, I probably have thousands of stories over the years. And, of course, all these stories that we present over the air are inspired by true stories. And, of course, the names are always changed to protect the innocent, because I've been out here doing this for so long. The story is told about a man who left his wife in their 30s and for years, and she prayed for him to come back to him because of her spiritual beliefs. And sure enough, about 30 years later, he did return back to her after the woman who he left her for, you know, was a much younger woman, and he was gravely ill. So he only came back after enjoying his season of fun with this other woman. And that other woman, as he got ill, she didn't want him anymore. And then he returned back to his wife, only for her to take care of him in his ill stages, and then he ultimately died. Now, is that fair to her, while she waited all these years and put her life on hold? I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Ms. Brannon?
Well, like she said, you get what you pray for, and and it goes back to your vows, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, for sickness and health.
Uh-huh.
So she's probably my interpretation in taking him back after those 30 years he don't lived his gracious life, and
right.
once you love a person, you may not be in love, but you still love that person, and you don't. You still got to go before your judgment before God.
Right.
We still have to go. So, in other words, she prayed, and God said, well, even though he had his fun, and maybe we don't know how much fun he had. We don't know if it was all peaches and cream, because every day you don't always have a good day or a rosy day, as they say.
So right.
Maybe God meant for it to be for him to get where he is, to see that this woman that he was with for 30 years that will not take care of him did not truly love him, and he needed to get back to his true love.
Wow. Only for her to take care of him on his deathbed, his dying bed. All right, we're going to take a break right now. If you're just joining us, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Tonight we're talking about, tonight's topic is there a spiritual relevance between COVID-19, you know, with the spiritual matters? Is there some type of spiritual relevance here? Go ahead.
Dr. Walker, I'm sorry, not to interrupt, but while we were talking about the woman who took the man back after 30 years,
yes,
something just came to the spirit. A lot of that her taking him back may not have been so much about him. It may have been about her and allowed her to move on and understand forgiveness. Because sometimes when things like that happen to you, you develop a sense of bitterness. So maybe it was to humble it, and as crazy as it sounds, because she was the one who was wrong, it may have been to humble her and to bring her back to where she needed to be and where God wanted her to be. So sometimes the things that look so wrong in one sense, because we look at this from an earthly standpoint, but a lot of times it's so much deeper than that because it's spiritual. So it might not even have been about him. It was about her.
Okay, that's an interesting point.
Very good. She has to be right with God. She has to go before her judgment. So she did what she felt she needed to do within herself. And I know a couple of people that have done that. They've split up for years, and they've gotten back together, and one took sick, and she took care of them. But like you said, it just could be for her self-worth and her just being a good-hearted person, but will do what is right by God and her faith.
Wow, that is so deep. That's really deep. That's interesting. That's you really got to be a special person to deal with something like that after somebody's been gone for so long, and then they come back to you when they're at the end of life, and you feel perhaps that you've been robbed of so many of the good years. And once again, tonight we're talking about is there a spiritual relevance resulting from COVID-19. And I've heard a lot of what you all have said, and Ms. Mary is going to bring you back in a moment and ask, you know, and we're thinking about Edith and their children, and I think that you all have shared some comforting thoughts for that family, that God did not give us the spirit of fear. He did not give us that spirit. And so with everything that's going on, I think that we still need to be mindful. And Ms. Mary, I'm finding that people are still going out, and I don't think that the medical world is absolute on their understanding, perhaps, of this virus. And so I think it's still in some preliminary stages, and I'm certainly not trying to speak as a medical doctor, but people are still gathering in crowds. What's your take on that? I mean, we're still talking about that spiritual connection. I mean, even with what they're saying to practice social distancing, but yet the country is reopening and people are just seemingly not even listening. What's your take on that? And we heard Ms. Cross say earlier that there's a spike increase in Florida. Ms. Mary, your take on this. What's going on?
Right. There's a lot more testing going on than there was before. And some of these tests are not all made in the same laboratory. So I'm a little suspicious about some of the testing, if that's what you're asking me about, because
mm-hmm.
I know personally of some healthcare workers here in Maine that work at a nursing home. And one week, we'll say a person tested positive. 2 weeks later, they tested negative. Okay, which is it? Are they positive? Are they negative? Same person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So, I'm curious about that. But for myself personally, I try to rely on the eight principles of health that God has given us. They're biblical principles. Do you mind if I share those?
No, not at all. I'm familiar with them as well, but I want to hear it. I've heard this for years growing up as a child, the eight laws of health. Go ahead. Please share them.
Sure. So nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, temperance, rest, fresh air, and trust in God. Now, you mentioned the Spanish flu, and a lot of patients that were suffering during and after World War I, because that's when the Spanish flu came onto the scene, the nurses were in much better health because they were able to get out into the fresh air and the sunshine. And some of the patients that were dying were in buildings, stifled, without fresh air and sunshine. And when that revelation happened, then patients started being moved into tents so they could get the benefit of fresh air and sunshine, which is a wonderful disinfectant. Those are my two cents on what's happening with COVID. I think that we have a lot of people in this around the world that have not really taken care of themselves in a healthy manner, and they have put themselves at risk to not just COVID, but other illnesses and systemic problems.
And so with that, they're, by them being out and not following guidelines as we understand them, then aren't they likely exposing other people to these risks?
I'm not against the social distancing aspects of this. When I'm taking my walk, for instance, I'm not walking up to strangers and talking with them, you know, in their space. I might give them a wider berth, but I make sure, because we're very social, creatures.
Right.
God made us for that purpose. I want to make eye mm-hmm. contact with someone. I want to wish them a nice day. I want to, you know, ask them how they're enjoying this beautiful weather up here in Maine. It's been gorgeous these past few days. So for me, I don't have a problem with the social distancing. I am concerned about how many people are wearing masks and face coverings because they are breathing in back their own germs and carbon dioxide rather than expelling those things that our body is desperately trying to get rid of. I don't think I need to be coughing in someone's, you know, personal space, or breathing in someone's personal space if someone is very concerned or at risk. But I do believe that I need to have fresh air and sunshine, and that not wearing a mask for me personally is why I don't. I have asthma. It's a health risk for me to be wearing a mask, but I don't need to disclose that, you know, according to HIPAA laws either.
Right. So let me ask you, the eight laws of health, I remember growing up,
yeah.
but I don't remember, there was a word that help you to remember those. Do you remember what the word is? It's an acronym.
One moment.
If you give me the letters, I will figure it out again, because my mother taught that to us as children.
New Start.
And we had to print. New Start. New Start. That's it.
Start.
Thank you very much. I remember now. New Start. Okay, and I'm going to ask you to repeat those over the air. As a matter of fact, give them to us again for the new. The N is nutrition. And the E was what?
Exercise.
And the W?
The W is water.
water. Okay, we're 3/4 water. We made up of 3/4 according to science. Go ahead. Sunlight, sunshine.
Sunshine. Temperance.
Uh-huh.
Rest. Air. And trust in God.
Okay, trust in God. Okay, now I remember that from a little boy. Thank you for that, Ms. Mayor. We're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Brenda, we're going to take another comment that's coming to the studio. We got about 14 minutes before we end tonight's broadcast. This male, he writes in, he says, do you think there could be a spiritual relevance that could result from COVID-19? I personally think there could be a correlation with the virus and spiritual matters because I think God is trying to get our attention, which is what everyone has said over the air, in forming or establishing a relationship with him instead of looking to man to be the fixer or answer. What do you think about that? I mean, looking to God to establish a relationship with him, why is that so important right now, in your opinion?
Well, to have a relationship with God, we all should, because without God, there will be no us. There will be no world. There will be no universe. So first and foremost, we have to look to the higher power who made this world, and you have to have that faith and that belief. When he's ready for this COVID to go away, because science is just that, science. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Science is just that, science. So, but to have a relationship with God, that's what he wants us to do, have a better relationship with him, get our lives in order for those that are not in order. Like you said, the good suffers with the bad. But on the religious standpoint, we have to be right with God because, like you said, when you die, you're asleep. You go to that judgment. You don't know which way, if your name is on that book, to go to the through those heavenly gates, or he's going to send you. We never know where he's going to send us when we go before him or his angels come to get us. There are good angels, they say, and then, you know, the other side of the angels. You know, I used to look at this program where they have this angel that comes and something happens to you, they give you the opportunity to rectify the mistakes that you've made. And I wish that was true in life because I've never seen, you know, I've heard of it,
right.
You know.
Right.
But we may not have that opportunity to have a redo or to really correct the things that we've done wrong. So
you get
that one shot. And like
uh-huh.
he said, he loves the good as well as he loves the bad. But you have to confess your sins. And if you don't confess your sins, then you never know which way, you know, that the angels are going to take you, your soul, when he decides to come down, they decide to come down and get you. So you have to confess your sins. I don't care if it's you look at those that are drug addicts, alcoholics, all these people who have these other issues, confess your sin to God. He loves us all, but you first have to confess your errors.
Ms. Ross, right.
That relationship is deeply rooted, but it's just how you handle it and what you do with it, and reading your Bible, doing things that you have to find comfortable. Even if you take 30 minutes a day and just praise him, get up in the morning before you hit the floor, you praise him. You know we have that Sabbath day, you praise him every chance you get. And when you pray, even though I pray for certain people who call out their name, I don't know everybody in the whole wide world, but I pray for everybody in every country, every, you know, in the whole wide world, the universe that is sick, that is ill, that are having issues, I pray for them to get better, as well as I pray for my family. So I lump them all together. You know, but I do pray, you know, in this song that someone gave me when I was going through an issue myself, is called encourage. You got to take the devil out yourself. You got to believe that you are, like I was going through some illness, you are healed by his stripes. You got to say things how you are healed. You are healed by his stripes. You have to be encouraged. Some people don't get encouragement. They go sad, and I know I can talk, but there are very instrumental songs that that are very encouraging that helped me. You know, encourage yourself no matter what you're going through. So you have to be encouraging, and you have to have that faith and confess your sin.
All right. We're almost down to the very end, and I want to take some of the comments come in, but Ms. Cross, let me bring this one to you. I heard what Ms. Brennan said here about having that relationship with God, but then you've got people who are considered atheists and those who are also agnostic. And the atheists are saying that how can we possibly believe in a God whom we've never seen and there's no proof of his existence? What is your response to something along those lines?
Well, you know, ironically, I took my daughter to lunch, and that was a conversation that my 12-year-old and I had in regards to, you know, how do we know if God is real? And, you know, because these are questions that I'm starting to get, you know, on a daily, you know. So I told, you know, my thing with what I told her was, you know, you have to go off of, I told her that I lean on my faith. And I lean on what I know and what I feel to be true. You know, that is a question, though, that I think I've heard it a lot. I've heard it in different religious settings. I've heard it in educational settings. I've heard it in just, you know, roundabout settings. You know, I feel like that's always going to be a question that people ask. And if there is a God, who created God? You know, that's like the second most popular question. So I remember, the conclusion to our discussion, well, she goes, you know, Mommy, but I couldn't be an atheist because they're too weird, you know. And I'm just like, Lord, you know, whatever I told her, she accepted. I was like, thank you, Lord, because I don't know how to deal with, to be honest with you and being very transparent, I wouldn't know how to properly address a child who does not believe in God or who is an atheist. Like, I'm praying to God that's never something I have to experience because my faith is so strong in what I believe. And I try to instill what I believe into children because I just know this to be my truth. So, that, you know, that's my take on that.
Okay, I'm glad that you put it that way. That is your truth. And I agree because it comes down to a belief system and your own faith. Ms. Mary, I want to bring that question in for you. And we've got about 7 minutes before we bring the show to a close. And that is, how do you respond to someone when they say there's no proof that God exists, that the world is just there? You know, you live and you die, and that's the end of it. Ms. Mary, what's your approach to someone like that? Ms. Mary, okay, perhaps.
My apologies.
Okay.
I had you on mute. Would you ask that question again, please?
Yes. What would be your response to someone who says, well, like an atheist, how can you prove the existence of God? I mean, what would you say to someone like that?
That I myself, at different times when I was younger, I questioned the existence of God. I liked what one of my sisters just mentioned. Who created God? You know, I've actually in my youth wondered that myself.
Right.
But as I've gotten older, I've realized that I'm not talking about the natural world right now. We are such complex created beings. Just our eyes alone, you know, shoot at the same point, you know, just in rapid fire. That's not by chance. We're not by chance. So when I started thinking about just created beings or just beings, just animals and myself, I started saying, okay, I'm going to start praying. I'm going to see how this goes. I'm going to look more into this Bible. And when I started doing those things, I just found this peace that I couldn't explain, that I hadn't felt before. And things just started happening, and it's brought me to where I am today. So if someone as an atheist were to say to me, how can I believe? I would ask them, what do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Pray. Get down on your knees. Give it a try. You're going to be amazed at how you feel. Not maybe what happens right away, but you're going to be amazed at how it feels.
Excellent. We've got about 5 minutes, you all, so I want to get at least 3 more of these comments. Let me go there. And Ms. Mary, since we've got you here now, we'll go to you, Ms. Brennan, and then we'll give Ms. Cross the final word. This female writes in, Ms. Mary, and she says that I don't have a clue on what is going on. I think the world is out of control and God is trying to get our attention to live right. I don't know if this is his way of getting our attention or if man has done something evil to serve his own purpose. That's pretty deep. She's saying that she don't know if this is God's way to get us right or if man has done something, you know, evil to serve his own purpose. Ms. Mary, how do you respond to this comment?
It's a good question. I've asked that question myself because you hear, if you listen to the news, and I really stopped listening to the news, there was one person that was testing COVID-19, and he had it, and he went out and, you know, started telling people about it and telling the government, and they didn't believe it. They ostracized him, and then they made him sign all kind of statements. So you never know what is man made or if it's God trying. It could be God through man to get our attention because this man had tested it on himself, you know, whether the story is true or not. And then 2 weeks later, he's dead. And they made him sign all kind of papers to say that it wasn't true. But like I said, man is medicine, you know, it's a trial and error. But I think God controls sometimes what man, God does control what man do. We have to pray about not trying to do the wrong things or be sinful. But sometimes I believe God has a hand in some of the things that man does. So I think it's a combination of both, that he has a hand in us experimenting with different things, just like the Tuskegee Airmen up in Tuskegee. They were experimenting on black men, you know, from people as they're protesting for equal rights. We haven't been free, they said, 400 years. I don't think it's been longer than that, even though in my decade years, I don't sound like it, but I look back on life and I look at things. When I was growing up, I was lived in Georgia. We would go downtown in the daytime. I was 8 years old and there was the KKK downtown rallying in the daytime. And then at night, they would go in the black neighborhoods and burn the cross. So I feel that the KKK is still alive, but they just in suits. They don't took off their caps and they wiped their hoods and they. So I think we're still in bondage. We're trying to get out of bondage. So
okay.
I think there is a hand played by God trying to show us in different ways through man.
Through man. All right. We got only about 60 seconds left, and Ms. Mary, we're going to give you this comment, and then Ms. Cross, you'll have the last comment. This female, she says, no matter how we look at things, it is likely to get worse before it gets better. She goes on to say, I think we need to do our part in asking God to intervene into our affairs because we certainly are not getting something right.
So here she's saying, Ms. Mary, that we need to ask God to intervene into our affairs. Why is that so important? Just briefly, because we're running out of time.
I think that a more poignant request of God personally, and I understand that my sister's fear here would be, God, how can you lead me through this crisis?
Right.
How can you lead me to the cross so that I am with you forever? Okay, I don't know that this is our home. I don't want this to be my home. I want to be a stranger here. And I would ask that my sister want to be a stranger here and maybe not make it better, but make it so we all go home. I think at the end of the day, that little bit of pain that we're going to experience before we die, we're going to say, it was fine, but I guess what I mean is that it's okay because it was worth it. It was worth what we went through to be here. You know, that little window that we're all going to experience, whatever that is, you know, I'm sorry, one of the ladies here was talking about end of days. I don't know when my end of days is. My end of day could be tomorrow. So, you know, like we've been talking about here, we need to live as if it's our last and get down on our knees and pray that we are following and being true to God's word.
Right. Okay. So, Ms. Cross, we're going to give you the last word. And I think what Ms. Mary is here is referencing is to enjoy the good eternally, we must have known what the bad was like. Fair to say, Ms. Mary. So,
yes.
So,
yes, I would say that synopsizes it.
Yes, yes. Ms. Cross, you've got the final word, and we're down to time is out there threatening me over here. And the mail says, I don't think there's reason to be so alarmed because the people made it through the Spanish flu of 1918, and here we are today. I think things like this just happen with time. Mm-hmm. Whether there is a spiritual relevance, I don't really know, and maybe that's because I'm not an avid Bible reader. Okay, Ms. Cross, on the final note on that, he's not an avid Bible reader, and things sometimes just happen in time. What are your thoughts on that to close us out for tonight?
Well, I think she's entitled to feel how she feels. I do believe that there is, but I believe that there's definitely a spiritual aspect. There's a spiritual connection to what's going on, but I do believe that everything that we go through has a spiritual connection. You know, even when it's something that is too much for us to process or understand as it is today, in my experience, and even in the experiences of people who have shared their experiences with me later on down the line, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you know, I think 100 years from now, we're going to know exactly what this was about. You know, I do believe that, and I know that one of the callers spoke about, or one of the people who wrote in talked about that the fact that this may have been man-made or man kind of push, but I believe that there may be some truth to that, but God has his hand on everything. So sometimes what quote-unquote man begins, God is going to end. You know what I mean? So he has to make things come to pass in order for what he wants to happen to come to be, you know. And I know we talked about, you know, all things happen.
For the good of those who love the Lord.
Exactly. All things will line up for the good of who loves the Lord, because I do believe that.
Right.
And even though at times it's very hurtful to have to process some of the things that we go through on this earth, but I believe that ultimately, you know, God does everything with purpose.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. I'm sorry we went a little bit over. Let me tell you, the show is normally only 1 hour, but because of the context of our topic tonight, we went a little longer than usual. Well, we're out of time now. I want to thank all of my guests, Dr. Pastor Richard Dunn, Ms. Brennan, Ms. Mary.
And, of course, Ms. Cross, we do appreciate your being with us all every week as you are. Join us back here tomorrow night for your half-hour inspirational programming, which we're going to have a very special guest tomorrow as well. She's going to be joining us, and we're going to continue with part of this discussion, you know, the spiritual concept versus the relevance to COVID-19. So if you want to continue some of this tomorrow night, we're going to be on instead of the half hour, we'll be here for 45 minutes. So, of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's broadcast, join us back here live next Thursday for a surprise topic that you don't want to miss next Thursday. The show will go from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until tomorrow night or until next Friday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.